He served in the Tennessee State as a Tennessee State representative for 18 years, and he has also spent 30 years as a professor at Volunteer State Community College and Austin Peay State University. He's been married for 49 years. He has 2 children and 5 grandchildren. He is a farmer and also a bank director at a bank that will remain nameless for obvious reasons. We're pleased to have Mike McDonald with us today, so please make him welcome.
Thank you, David. It's good to be with you all. It's good to see some old friends. Jim Hawkins said, "Mike, we need to see you on a regular basis." I said, "Jim, I don't go anywhere on a regular basis. I don't have to do that anymore." But thank you for the invitation to speak. Thank you for your interest in our elections. Thousands of men and women in this country have died so that you and I can vote and support our constitutional republic and free elections. Government, folks, is not easy. There's nothing easy about it. William will tell you that too. It's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. I think a lot of people take it for granted. We've got to work to make sure we have representative democracy for years and years to come. I have 5 grandchildren. I want them to grow up not in a dictatorship, not under an authoritarian regime. I want them to grow up in a representative democracy where people choose their leaders. I want to briefly talk about the State Election Commission, vote centers, online voter registration, expanding voting opportunities, purging voters, voter fraud, the Pence-Kobach Fraud Commission, redistricting, security, and my 4 main concerns about our election process. First of all, State Election Commission. Commissioners elected by the Tennessee General Assembly. William and the other members of the General Assembly just got through doing that. I was reelected. Thank you, William. There are 4 Republicans and 3 Democrats on the State Election Commission. That's because the Republicans have the majority party. I'm the Middle Tennessee Democrat. I represent 32 counties here in Middle Tennessee. So what do? We certify each voter registration system for purchase and use in the state. That's state law. We certify all voting equipment before it can be sold in Tennessee counties. And counties purchase the equipment. That's important. In Tennessee, it's bottom up. Our counties run the elections. And they purchase the equipment that's going to be used. The State Election Commission votes on and approves the appointment of all County Election Commission members across the state in all 95 counties. We have 475 commissioners across the state, 5 in each of the 95 counties. On April the 1st, and it's right around the corner, we will vote to put those 475 commissioners in place. We can remove a county election commissioner after a show cause hearing. We've done that twice since I've been on the commission. Sometimes commissioners misbehave, and if that's the case, they're removed. We can decertify an administrator of elections. We can certify administrator of election exams. They all have to take an examination. We have to certify those results. We suggest changes to election law to the General Assembly. The General Assembly passes election law, but we can make recommendations to the General Assembly. We approve the presidential candidate list presented to us by the Secretary of State, Trey Hargett. Federal and statewide candidates file with the Division of Elections, with the State Election Coordinator, and a duplicate is filed with the Executive Committee of the respective parties. How does the Secretary of State decide who's going to be on the presidential ballot? Next year's a presidential election year. Secretary Hargett will have to make recommendations to us. He looks at debate participation, and there'll be plenty of those. He also looks at news coverage and polling across the country, and then he comes to us with a list of presidential candidates that he recommends be on the ballot in Tennessee.
Coon Rippey going to be on again?
I don't know. Number 2, vote centers. You may or may not have heard about these. The whole idea of a vote center is to increase voter turnout. It's new in Tennessee, first used in 2019 Rutherford County was the guinea pig. Rutherford County was the first county to use vote centers. The idea is to make voting more convenient for people. The vote center will start early in the morning, finish late on in the day on election day. Maybe fewer precincts in that county, but a voter can go to any voting center just about any time on election day and vote. It's now up to the General Assembly to decide whether or not to expand that. Rutherford County was kind of a trial. Whether or not we go beyond that is kind of up to the General Assembly. Something that I'm really excited about, I know Secretary Hargett's excited about, online registration. You do not have to go anywhere except to your personal computer to register to vote. You can do it online. The registration form, after you fill it out, is sent to the appropriate county. The completed forms are held by each county, and the county administrator of elections and the employees check the registration forms and decide if a person should be added to the voter file. They check residency, felony convictions, and U.S. citizenship. People wishing to register online have to have a Tennessee driver's license, state or federal ID, or a Tennessee gun carry permit. If you're interested in registering online, if you haven't registered, we've got some high school folks here. When you turn 18, all you've got to do is go to govotetn.com, and you can register to vote online. Here's how we're trying to expand voting opportunities for folks. One, and this has been a huge success, early voting. In November of 2016, 63.87% of the voters were early voters. That's out of 2,545,271 votes. 63, almost 64% were early voters in November of 16. In August of 16, during the primaries, 48.95%, almost half, were early voters. Online voter registration, again, we're trying to increase opportunities for folks to vote. All you got to do is go to govotetn.com. I've already talked about the convenient vote centers, and we're always looking for ways to try to encourage people to vote. Now let me talk about purging. That's been an issue as of late. The law, TCA 2-2-106, requires that voters be purged under these circumstances. At the request of the voter, I don't want to vote anymore. He makes an official request, he can be purged. 90 days after a change of name for any reason except by marriage or divorce. If the voter dies, they'll be purged. Convicted of an infamous crime, change of address to an address outside the county of registration. County election office has got to send a letter of inquiry to that person before they can be purged. Sometimes folks get a little anxious about this. They want to purge somebody who shouldn't be purged. Well, you've got to send that letter of inquiry to that person first. The person has 30 days to provide proof of citizenship. Counties do the purging. Once again, elections are bottom up. They start with the counties. Federal law, however, requires purging be based on death, felony convictions, or confirmation of inactivity. Next, let me talk about voter fraud. Everybody's interested in that, it seems. In 2016, we just had two people prosecuted for voter fraud in Tennessee. One was a convicted felon who somehow managed to register to vote. The other was a person who was not a U.S. citizen, managed to register to vote. Fraud is not a huge problem in Tennessee. We keep a close eye on that. I know the secretary does, coordinator of elections, and we just really work hard to make sure there's no fraud in our voting. Let me mention the Pence-Kobach Fraud Commission. The Trump administration formed this commission and asked the states to turn over their voter files. 45 states, including Tennessee, said, no, we're not going to do that. Our Secretary of State, Trey Hargett, said no. It's a violation of state law. The Federal Freedom of Information Act doesn't apply to state voting or voter records. But these files are open to Tennessee citizens. TCA 2-2-138 governs how to get voter files. Simply put, for political purposes, William or anybody running for office, all they have to do is go down to the county election office and pay for those voter files. They're available that way. Let me talk about redistricting quickly. This is always an interesting process. I went through it several times. In Tennessee, it is a purely political process. The political party that controls the Tennessee General Assembly controls where district lines are drawn. There are court decisions requiring population balance and population variances in legislative districts. In 2010, when the Republicans took control of the Tennessee General Assembly, they were in a position to redraw lines, and they did in 2011 and created new districts. Somebody was asking me earlier about the 44th district, I think it was David, and I said, well, it used to look this way when I represented 44, now William represents 44, and it's a different district in terms of geography. Election outcomes, quite frankly, are impacted in part by redistricting. There's only one state that I know of in the country that has what I call a fair process for redistricting, and that's Iowa. They have an independent commission. That independent commission draws the lines based on population. They say one reason it works in Iowa, because if you can imagine the state, it's kind of like almost a square. And they can go down through there and draw lines pretty easily and try to balance population. Now let's talk about security briefly. The coordinator of elections and the state election commission are very, very concerned about security. We even went to Huntsville, Alabama to a company that tests equipment looking for security breach possibilities. Voting machines in Tennessee are not connected to the internet. They cannot be hacked. E-poll books could be hacked if they're online, but in Tennessee, an e-poll book, if it's used, has to be connected to landlines, not the internet. So there's no way to hack e-poll books. There's no way to hack into the voter files. It's remotely possible that vendors and voting machine technicians could rig elections. I get that often. Well, how about those guys? Couldn't they rig the election somehow? It would cause that vendor to lose all credibility, and probably that vendor would go out of business if they were caught doing that. Tennessee Division of Elections controls the voter records. Voter records, once again, are not online. The Division of Elections uses the statewide voter data files to compare counties. And the question here is, has a person moved from one county to another county? Well, the Division of Elections is constantly checking that. They look at Social Security numbers, date of birth, felony convictions. They work with the Department of Vital Statistics to determine who may be deceased. They also work with the Social Security Administration to verify if a person is deceased. Counties must verify a person's qualifications to vote. Once again, it's a bottom-up process. I've got four concerns, and I'll conclude with these four concerns. Number one, gerrymandering. The purpose of gerrymandering is to protect incumbents and parties. Incumbents draw district lines to protect themselves. It got so bad in North Carolina that the courts had to step in and redraw the lines over there. It got that bad. Number two, well, let me make this point. My concern over gerrymandering is politicians pick their voters instead of voters picking their politicians. That's the problem with gerrymandering. Number two, second concern, dark money. This wasn't even around when I was running for office. But after the Citizens United versus FEC Supreme Court decision, it allowed for the creation of what we call super PACs. And voters don't even know who's financing these ads. They don't know who's paying for this attack ad or this support ad, as the case may be. The court gave corporations First Amendment free speech rights. From my perspective, that's wrong. Corporations are not people. Corporate entities are created by statutory authority. They are not human beings. Yes, human beings work for corporations, but the corporation itself is created by statutory authority. It's not a human being. That's contributed to this dark money problem. We got money flowing into this state. We don't know where it's coming from. And that money buys commercials, and those commercials obviously influence voters. Third concern, foreign attempts to influence our elections. All of you have heard about the Russian meddling. This is the report.
background to assess Russian activities and intentions in recent U.S. elections, the analytic process, and cyber incident attribution. This is from the NSA, National Security Agency. There's no question but the Russians hacked into the 2016 election. And I hope the federal government's doing everything they can to stop this. And I know on the state level, we're very concerned about any kind of hacking into our elections. My final concern, and I'll let you go, and it's my number one concern, apathy. Voter apathy. Too few people vote. In the November 2016 general election, and that was a big election, 61.92% turned out. That sounds good. But why not 70? Why not 80? Why not 90? Why not 100%? August 16 primary. And keep in mind, in a primary, that's when we pick our nominees. That's when we decide who we're going to put on the ballot. Listen to this. 2016, in Tennessee, only 14.05% voted in the primary. 14% of the voters determined who's going to be on the ballot. Tennessee is 49th out of 50 states in voter turnout. 49th out of 50 states in voter turnout. We are 40th in voter registration. 838,000 Tennesseans. 838,000 Tennesseans are not registered to vote. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're not registered to vote. That's a big number, folks. I am really concerned about apathy in the electoral process. We ought to do all we can to encourage people to register to vote. I want to thank you for your interest in our election process. I want to thank our election workers. Some of you may be election workers on Election Day. I want to thank our administrators of elections and our local election officials, our commissioners who helped make this process work and help ensure that it's a free and fair process for everybody. I tell my students at Vol State, and I'm still teaching, I'm old, but I'm still teaching. I tell my students at Vol State that the word democracy comes from two Greek words, demos and kroton. Those two words simply mean people and rule, or rule by the people. The question for the future is, can we keep it? Can we keep rule by the people? The deliberations of the Constitutional Convention of 1787 were held in strict secrecy. Consequently, anxious citizens gathered outside Independence Hall when the proceedings ended in order to find out what had been produced behind closed doors. The answer was provided immediately. And Mrs. Powell of Philadelphia asked Benjamin Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy?" With no hesitation whatsoever, Benjamin Franklin responded, "A republic, if you can keep it." Folks, we've got to keep it. We've got to have free and fair elections in this country if we're going to have a great future for all of our citizens. Thank you so much for your kind attention today.
Does the requirement to have a photo ID, does that, in your opinion, hinder anybody from voting in Tennessee?
We had a big debate about that. If you need to leave, I know it's about 1 o'clock, feel free to get up if you need to leave. Had a big debate about that when I was in the legislature. Here was the problem. Nobody could prove fraud. That was the big argument. We need voter ID, we gotta have a driver's license or whatever. But nobody could prove fraud. I remember that debate very vividly. And number two, some people were prohibited because they did not have a voter ID, they didn't have a driver's license. One of those was my grandmother, who never in her lifetime had a driver's license. Now, to try to remedy that problem, you could go to a driver's testing facility somewhere and get a state-issued ID. In some counties, that was quite a distance away. We heard about some problems, Mark, after it passed. Not a lot. But a lot of those problems we weren't going to hear about. People just gave up on the system. I'm not going to fool with that. That's kind of my analysis of that. It probably prohibited some, not prohibited, but it deterred some people from voting.
You think they're in the 838 that don't give a anyway?
Could be. Yes, sir.
Where are we at? I mean, you talk about dark money and money influencing elections. Where are we at in terms of instituting term limits so that politicians can't be bought cycle after cycle? Because everybody knows millions upon millions of ad dollars creates a visibility that an incumbent gets that a challenger does not. So,
to answer your question, we are nowhere. Incumbent legislators, state, federal, whatever level, are not going to vote themselves term limits. It's not going to happen. I don't think.
What can we do as a state about dark money, or is that a federal issue that the state can't do anything about?
I think it's a federal matter, and something needs to be done about it. I remember vividly when there was a State of the Union one time when President Obama was president, and he had the Supreme Court justices sitting on the front row, and he got all over for approving that in the first place. I suppose it would take a Supreme Court decision to reverse it. Right with him, probably. But it's a bad thing. I'm telling you, it is a bad, bad thing. I have a friend in the legislature who was running against a guy. This guy got about $200,000. He didn't even know where it came from to run against this guy that I know. He didn't win. But how many of these tons of money flooding into the state from who knows where trying to influence our elections? You know, when I started back in 1994, when I was elected, my first fundraiser, I got $45 per person from maybe 50 people at my first fundraiser. It shouldn't be about tons of money from outside the state coming in the state to try to influence our elections. And people only know what they see on TV. You know, they maybe see a newspaper ad, maybe see a direct mail piece, but primarily, especially in statewide elections, it's television. Yes, sir?
You referenced the NSA report on the Russia hacking. I think they hacked into the Democratic National Committee, but is that what the report said, or other things they hacked into?
Well, we know they hacked into the DNC. There's no question about that, and Leon Panetta's files. We also know that Illinois got hit big time. In fact, the computer hits were coming so fast that their specialist in Illinois couldn't even respond to them. It was that bad. There may have been some other states that had similar problems.
They were trying to get the dead people in Illinois to vote for them.
I was going to say, what about the South Florida governor elections where they had a couple thousand people that were dead vote in South Florida and Miami-Dade crowd?
You know, in Florida, they never have been able to count votes. I don't know what their problem is down there. Thank goodness we have not had those problems in Tennessee. But I'm serious. They've had some real problems down there through the years. I remember 2000 when they were looking at Chads. You remember that? Hanging Chads. Yes, sir.
Is there any hope that we would have a day of voting on Saturday and declared a national holiday to get more people to turn out?
I wish. I wish Election Day was a national holiday. Close the schools. We need the schools anyway to set up equipment. Let's have a national holiday. If we can have a Columbus Day, surely we could have a national election day. That would certainly encourage people. They wouldn't have to rush home, rush from work or whatever. I'm all for that, Charles. Now, how you accomplish that, I suppose you take an act of Congress to do that. Thank you so much. I enjoyed being with you.